Welcome to Shaped by Faith with your host, Teresa Rowe. To find out more about Shaped by Faith and Teresa Rowe, please visit shapedbyfaith.com or visit the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Instagram. And now, here is Teresa Rowe.
Welcome to Shaped by Faith, where we shape our bodies and hearts for God's purposes. I have a special guest on today. From Wheaton College. She was a Wheaton College graduate, Lori Z. Scott, and she's known for her best-selling Megan Rose series. And besides these humorous children's chapter books, Lori has published over 200 articles, short stories, devotions, and poems for magazines like Brio and Focus on the Family. She has also contributed to 15 books, including writing and selling children's books in the Christian market, and is an article writer for Story Embers, an online Christian writing community. In 2022, Lori introduced Inside the 10-Foot Line, the first book in her YA sports series geared for Christian teens. And I can't wait to talk about that today. As an elementary teacher of over 25 years, Lori has a knack for interacting with audiences of all ages, and she has led writing workshops for local ACFW and SCBWI chapters, conducted school visits, served as a guest speaker for Story Embers podcast, and presented at virtual writing conferences. You've done a lot, Lori. Welcome to Shaped by Faith.
Thank you very much. Yeah, when you read that back, I'm like, when did I sleep? Not sure.
I know. Okay, so I would love for our listeners to get to know you. And so I'm going to ask you, when were you first introduced to sports?
Well, yeah, this is a great question, especially considering your platform. Hey, I grew up with a PE teacher for a mom.
Oh.
And so she kept us active. I am not kidding you. Like, we would have dinner and then we'd go into the living room and she'd put on this old song called Go You Chicken Fat Go. And we'd do exercises. So, and we also had a pool. So I don't even remember when I learned how to swim. I just swam. So, you know, we were always an active family. I had three other sisters, all very athletic. And so I always had someone to play catch with and chase around the house. And so when was I first introduced to sports? Don't remember, because I was too young.
That's right. My goodness gracious. Was it kind of neat having a mom as a PE teacher? What were your thoughts about that?
You know, it's really kind of interesting, because when you're a kid growing up, you don't really think about how remarkable your parents are. Mm-hmm. But my mom was sort of a maverick. She started a gym and swim program for young children, and they did not have one in our area before that. And we lived near Purdue University, so it wasn't like some hole in the town, you know,
right. Hole
in the wall town. So she was really, you know, she always said, I wanted to do athletics, but when she was growing up, the only sport that was available was cheerleading. So she was a cheerleader, but she's a tough cookie. She's approaching 90. And just about a year ago, she did a 5K and she broke her foot in the first mile and she finished that thing. So,
oh my goodness.
She's tough.
So it goes to show you stay active and just, you know, look what you can do. So I remind my fitness students of that all the time. You've got to keep moving to be strong. And so, wow, 90 years old, a 5K. Yeah. And yeah. Finishing
and
the race.
Too.
And
yeah,
what?
She did. I was going to say eating properly, too. As a PE teacher, she always made sure that we ate correctly before it was a thing.
That's a,
we
yes.
Always ate correctly. Yeah.
And that is so good. Wow. So you were raised in a very healthy background. What about your faith? Were you raised in a Christian home?
Yes, most definitely. Actually, you don't have enough time in your radio show for me to tell you my history, but my great grandfather was a Lutheran pastor in Ohio. He actually, there's a long story behind that, but he started the Tabernacle Tabernacle Hour. Sorry, my tongue is not working. And that was one of the first Christian radio broadcast ministries in the North American area. And then we had missionaries. Many of my aunts and cousins were missionaries with the Christian Missionary Alliance. My dad was choir director for 25 years in our church before he retired. And so, yeah. And
wow.
Yeah, that's just, I have been blessed with an incredible family and with an incredible example of what it means to walk in faith and to be involved in the church.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing. Let's talk about your sports background. What sports did you play in high school and then when you went to college?
Sure. So again, I grew up in the era was just after, you know, they let women do athletics comparatively in high school. So we didn't have the club balls, which nowadays, if you do a sport, you almost have to do it year round. So I did volleyball, basketball, softball, track. And I would have done swimming too, because I grew up on a competitive swim team, but the season overlapped with volleyball. So swimming had to go. And then in college, of course, I was a 4-year starter at Wheaton. I also played one season of softball. I just got too busy and I considered trying out for the swim team there, because even though I hadn't done swimming in high school, I was pretty good when I was younger. But ultimately it was volleyball all the way. Loved it.
When you played sports, was your mom and dad cheerleaders for you? Did they help you? Did your mom help you develop you? Did you have a mentor to help you with that, to develop your talent in sports?
Yes. Well, really, my parents were quite faithful. Remember, they had 4 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they probably attended every sporting event. And we were in band and orchestra as well. Every concert, you know. So they were always there. Now, my dad, he worked the most with me on sports, and he was a professor at Purdue University. And so sometimes, like during his lunch break, I would go out and play volleyball with him. Or we would go in the back of our house. We lived next to a farm, and I'd run laps around our field. He set up a net, full size court net, and we'd serve the ball back and forth, or I'd serve the ball up, you know. So it was just this always supporting and encouraging. And it was kind of interesting. When I went and saw my dad's retirement party, they listed off a slew of accomplishments. And as his daughter, my jaw just hit the ground, because I was like, are you kidding? He's done all these things. And they left off the most important thing. And that is, he was my dad. Mm-hmm. And he was such a good dad. And my mom was such a good mom that I did not even realize how accomplished they were on their own.
Wow. They were very, very balanced. It
very balanced.
They had to have had that healthy balance that, for one, obviously, they were obedient to the Lord. And, you know, with having 4 girls and everything that you did to be able to attend your events and to do their jobs and everything else, absolutely, that takes talent alone just to do that. What a blessing. Yes. And I think, you know, in today's world, you know, I think sometimes kids are discouraged to listen to their parents or to look up to their parents. You know, my daughter and I were just discussing that the other day. She homeschools her 2 children, and she said, "Mom, when I was in high school, we were really, you know," she didn't use the word discouraged, but we were told to be more independent of our parents, and it kind of gave you an impression to look down upon them because they weren't as good as we're going to be. And I'm like, oh yeah, and that was a long time ago. You know, so it's, you know, I think we need to get back to the basics, obey God, obey our parents. And there's that healthy balance that you get when you do when you do both those. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Shaped by Faith. Everyone stay tuned. Welcome back to Shaped by Faith. Lori Z. Scott, an author, best known for her best-selling Megan Rose series, is with me today. And she has written a lot. And we're going to get into that. So, Lori, when did you begin writing?
That's a good question. I always kind of messed around with writing for fun. You know, in high school, I wrote articles for our school newspaper. And, you know, as a teenager, I always composed poetry because that's what we do. But, you know, weird things like I had the adventures of Super Cat going up and down the margins of my science notebook. So those were just writing things. But really, those things really kind of prepared me for what happened later. My daughter was very little. I wasn't teaching at that time. I was at home taking care of my kids. So she was still in diapers. My son's a little guy. My mind, though, doesn't stop thinking. And we're at the library. And the library had a flyer for a science fiction writing contest. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that. So I wrote a 5,000-word short story and sent it in, not knowing at all what I'm doing. And I got second place. Now, don't be too impressed. There were probably only two entries, for all I know. But anyway, the day that I found out that my story won second place, I got my Mom Sense magazine. Now, that's a branch of MOPS International. Mm-hmm. And they were having an international story writing contest. And I was like, God, do you want me to write? Okay, here's what. I just got this. So I'm going to enter this international story writing contest. And I did. And I won.
Wow.
And that one, I knew they had hundreds of entries. And so Mom Sense magazines, they published the story, they radio broadcast it, and they started sending me information like, will you write for the magazine? So I started writing a few things for the magazine. And it just kind of went from there, just one little surprise after the other. When I look back on it, I can see how God led me step by step by step to where I am now writing these young adult stories.
That's incredible. I love when we look back on our life and the footprints, you know, and where God has brought us and how he was in every single detail. I mean, you had to be at the library for one to find out about that one contest, and it led to so many open doors for you. I think it's mm-hmm. so important that we keep our eyes open and our ears open for the suddenlies, you know, in those surprises. So your books include a lot of healthy humor. And I can tell just by talking with you that you have a great sense of humor. You're lighthearted. Have you always had a good sense of humor? Or did you have to develop it?
Well, I think humor is kind of developed over time. It's not like you're born with humor. I think some of that comes from the environment that you grow up in mm-hmm. and the way that you view the world. But you have to understand, I was trained from birth, sort of like with sports. My dad, he's a brilliant scientist, but he is also the funniest person I know. Like, you could not survive in my household if you did not speak fluent pun. And he'll be like a lion. He will lie in wait. He'll have that pun in his head and he'll just wait for the right moment to spring it on you. You know, so I just think because of that, it changed the way that I started looking at words and started looking at the world. In fact, you know, it's like, how is this funny? How can I view this a different way? A lot of times I'll make up my own jokes. Just, I have a whole method for how I do it. And it's a lot of fun. But my whole family's that way. You know, one of my sisters, she was actually a pastor's wife. She was part of a comedy improv group for a number of years. Yes, she was. And plus, I grew up watching like Carol Burnett and reading article writers like Irma Bombeck and mm-hmm. comics like Peanuts and Garfield. So I actually teach workshops on how like the average Joe can add humor to their writing, because you can learn how to do it. It's not this like, oh, I'm not funny, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You just have to change the way you think about the world.
That's right. That mindset, and laughter is such good medicine for us. And we all need to be laughing and laughing at ourselves too. And don't take ourselves too seriously and find the humor in life. I was born in a pretty strict family where we were not allowed to laugh at the table. And so when I married my husband, he sounds a lot like your father in some ways. And I'm like, what did that mean? It's like, I had to start like, you know, coming up with my own things to come back at him. And now it's just hilarious. I mean, he keeps me on my toes. I said, you never give me a break. He's like, no, why would I? So,
he can't help it. Yeah.
Yeah. How has your faith helped shape your writing?
Again, this is another one that has been with me so long. I can hardly even remember where my faith started. It's just always been a part of my life. And that's the thing, when I write, I can't keep the faith element out. I want my writing to come out naturally. So when I dig into the characters, when I immerse myself in the scene, and when I start typing, it just comes out naturally in what you're saying. And I think that's good, because you don't ever want to come across as preachy or insincere in what you write. So I guess if you ever watched me writing in front of my computer, you see I'm making all sorts of faces and actions, because I'm literally experiencing what the character's experiencing, so I can imagine how it looks. I don't want to tell people what they're feeling. I want to show people that emotion. And it's kind of like the humor. I just can't help it. I mean, I had a friend who recently asked me to contribute to a romance anthology. I don't do romance. I've never written romance. But I was like, okay, God has opened this door. Sure, I'm going to try romance. And so I wrote these short stories for this anthology, and I tried to do the romance, and the humor just came out, and also so did the faith. They just both came out. So it's just like, if you pick up a book from me, whether it's written for a general market, almost 99% of mine are for the Christian market, but the book coming out next year is for the general market, you're still going to have that where you can say, this is a person who has an upbeat attitude and faith. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's and plus, like you said, using the prayer, praying, you know, God, come alongside me. I'll pray over my plots. I'll say, God, help me with this story. Please, Lord.
Help me.
And he always answers. So
he does, doesn't he? What do you enjoy most about writing books for teens?
For me, I think it's the challenge. When you're writing for teens, it forces you to consider the impact of your words. Now, younger levels, same thing, but at that teen level, you really, these are kids that are influencers, and they're going to go out and they are making decisions and laying the foundation for the rest of their lives. And so you want to, right there, be able to offer them something that might be an encouragement to them, something they can go to later in life. And I love the YA genre. I mean, that's the genre I probably read the most of, because I don't have a lot of time. They're a fast read and they're always very good. So I just enjoy, I guess, maybe the opportunity. I feel like with the schedule that I have, that the writing is a ministry, but I want it to be fun. I want it to be something that can connect. I want it to be something meaningful.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, when you pray and you ask God, help me, Lord, he absolutely does. As far as your writing schedule, Lori, do you write 5 days a week, 4 days a week, 8 hours a day? What does that look like?
Well, I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. It does not look the same every day. I know that there are authors out there that say you have to be regular, you have to write 500 words a day, you have to do this, you have to do that. Our minds don't always work that way, and our schedules don't either. So instead of beating myself up, I make myself a list of goals, and then I do my best to try to get as many of those done as I can on a day. And whatever I get done, I cross off and celebrate. And whatever I don't get done, I put on the list for things to do tomorrow.
I love that. And I love your honesty. Thank you for that. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Shape by Faith. Everyone, stay tuned. Welcome back to Shape by Faith. Lori Z. Scott is my guest today. And Lori, without giving away any spoilers, can you tell me about your book, Offsides?
Yes. Okay. Well, Offsides is the second book in a young adult series that features different kinds of athletes. So just real quickly, the first book in the series was Inside the 10-Foot Line. It starred a volleyball player. It actually has won some awards for writing and fiction, and I'm waiting to find out how it does in the Carol Awards because it is a semifinalist for the Carol Awards. But Offsides features a soccer player, and there's a longer story behind this, but the soccer player, you know what? I'm going to read the summary for you because it sums it up pretty good. Okay, it says, Danny Stevens' new senior year would be something else. Last year on the soccer field, her best friend quitting the team to be in the musical, and a new crush. What she didn't expect was to be on the lookout for a human trafficking ring in her town. When an older man appears to be grooming a neighbor, Danny's determined to keep the girl safe, but she has to watch her own back too, or she could become his next victim. And I feel like if I tell you more than that, I might give something away.
Yes.
But here's the thing. It's a serious topic. So it's a serious book, but it's still peppered with humor. And when I tell people that, they give me a confused look because there's nothing funny about the topic. Mm-hmm. But somehow it works. It's sort of like you got chocolate in my peanut butter. And you end up with the wonderful. So parts of the books are fun and parts of the books are intense, but they're all very relatable and age appropriate. So I hope it can serve a little bit as a cautionary tale.
Okay. So what did you learn when writing Offsides?
Oh my goodness. I learned my awareness of the human trafficking problem increased exponentially. I mean, I grew a great appreciation for the people and organizations that work so hard to rescue victims and help them recover from their trauma. I actually contacted one, a local one called Unbound Now. It's a Christian-based organization. They have locations across the United States. And I'm hoping that I can donate some of the proceeds from the book to help that organization. But yeah, I learned what to look for and people that are being trafficked and who I should call if I suspect something.
You know, that is, we need to have awareness. I know times have changed. Times have sped up a lot. It's not the same as when I was a little girl. It's totally changed. So we do need to have awareness. So what surprised you the most about the story?
Before I answer that question, I do want to say, in agreement with you, it's the story that everybody needs to hear, but nobody wants to tell because it's just so horrific. The statistics are bad. But what surprised me about the story is like the characters, and this happens a lot. I make a very skeletal outline. And as I try to follow that, the characters take on their own life and they just surprise you and take the story different ways. So I know I had two different editors, maybe three, that went through the story, and all of them were like, wow, I didn't expect that. And I was like, okay, good, because I didn't either. and it was fun. So
it just happens. How do you develop your characters? Do you just start writing and they come to life?
I do make a basic outline because I like to know where the story's going, but I make it very skeletal. And I like to describe it as growing my story. I'll start with like a short two sentence summary of what I expect to happen in the chapter. And then I grow it into a full chapter, you know, 1,000 words or maybe a little more. Mm-hmm. And then if something like that happens where the character surprises me, then I adjust the outline accordingly. So it's a lot of give and take as I write. You know, I get a lot of feedback from my critique group, and that's wonderful too.
And that's a good thing to have as a critique group, especially if you're interested in writing.
Absolutely.
Everyone needs that group. What does the title Offsides mean?
It's kind of a play on words, because offsides is a foul in soccer when you go ahead of the ball. It's kind of a confusing rule, but in a nutshell, the player who's offside is someone who jumps ahead of the play. And that's what happens with Dani in the story. She jumps offside on the soccer field, but she also jumps offside in the way that she acts. She doesn't consider the consequences, and she'll jump offside emotionally to jump to conclusions or jump to things, and it leads to danger.
What's your favorite quote from your book?
I actually have three. One has to do with the power of positive thinking, and that's no matter how shrill the roar of the crowd, the loudest voice we hear is the one inside our heads. And that is so true. Mental health is such a big thing these days. The second one is more about the power of thought and quietness. It's sometimes I think people shy away from silence because they fear what they might find in the void. I think that's a really interesting thought. I don't know where it came from, but I liked it. And then toward the end of the book, just the power of what we can do. It's a conversation between the two main characters. And science is powerful, but words, she squeezed me, words can change the world. And that's true. Our
that
world
so true.
Can change the
so
world. True. Kind of a tongue twister for me there.
I always, my kids will always joke with me from time to time. I always will say a little bit of encouragement goes a long way. Everyone needs to be encouraged. Our time is almost out, but let me ask you this. What do you hope your readers take away from Offsides?
I'm really hoping that it will raise their awareness of the issue and of dangers, because like when I started doing the research for it, believe me, it wasn't a topic that I willingly chose. God put it on my heart and would not let it go. And I was like, no, God, I don't want to write about this. But here I was doing the research. Sorry, that's my timer going off.
Well, so see, that's a good alert there. So where can we find your books, Lori?
You can find my book. You can go to my publisher's website, which is Endgame Press. You can also find it on Amazon. You should be able to go into a store like Barnes & Noble and request a copy. You can find it at christianbooks.com.
Okay. You've been a lovely guest, and I want to have you come back on, okay, because I would love to speak with you again. But thank you so much, Lori.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And thank you for listening. I'm Teresa Rowe. Everyone have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Shaped by Faith with Teresa Rowe. Remember to visit shapedbyfaith.com to find out more about workouts, the TV show, podcasts, blogs, Shaped by Faith products, and much more.